This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a little cool, but, you know, other than that, we're going to be fine.
Well, you know, being Halloween weekend,
53.
It better be cool at this point, or else we're in a lot of trouble.
That's right. Well, it's going to be 73 day. It'll be a nice day once it gets warm, but I don't know how long that's going to take, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't know. And Friday, we had a little rain. We had rain on Monday, so
really?
We're not as dry as we were.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's cool.
I mean, rain twice in one week is unheard of.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you've had that. Geez, you're lucky if you get one rain.
It's been a long time. That's right. And I went to the pumpkin patch this week.
Yeah.
I've done everything that a good grandmother ought to be doing.
Did you run through the pumpkin patch? Were you running around and going through?
Let
like...
me tell you something. If I was running, we would have had that filmed. I guarantee.
I was fixed to say I want to see the tape if there is.
That's right. We would all want to see that tape. No, they had the big the pumpkin patch itself is huge. It's really huge. Every size of pumpkin in the world, they've got them laid out in a design. It was really neat. But the first grade class went, and I went, and I hadn't done that in years. You know, every once in a while, you need to get out with the kids and do something.
Yeah.
And we rode on the tractor and trailer. Ours wasn't doing very good. I think this guy was an amateur because he got it stuck, and people had to get out. Some of the parents got out, put hay under the tires, did everything.
Oh, my.
Finally got him out of that. Then the next time it happened, we just said, we'll walk. I don't believe he knows what he's doing. I think he was new on the job.
He's an amateur.
Wow. He was an amateur. He didn't know how to drive a tractor very good.
Oh, my.
So we just got out and walked. But all the little children got a pumpkin. Put their names on them where there wouldn't be mistakes. They played on everything. They had so many things. They had little characters. They had ghost characters. They had Star Wars. Oh, my gosh. Every kind of character in the world all through it.
Really? That sounds cool.
Yes. It was cool. It had every character you can imagine. And Baby Yoda. They even had Baby Yoda from Star Wars.
Really? Neat.
Yes, and my grandson loves Baby Yoda. So all the kids loved everything there. And as I said, they loved the hay, playing on the hay, just everything you could imagine. They were doing it.
Wow.
And all the mothers didn't get to go, so you can imagine what fun that was. first and second grade.
Wow.
So you had about 30-something children.
Oh, geez. That's a lot.
Yes. It was a lot.
It's been so long since we've been to the pumpkin patch. It doesn't sound like a whole lot has changed. Because every time you bring up a story, I'm like, wow, that's like nothing like what it used to be. But it kind of sounds like the pumpkin patch is pretty close to what it used to be when we went. What it sounds like.
I think it is. I don't think it's changed much. I don't remember when my children were little what it cost to get in. But now, during the week, it's $10 a car, and then it's $20 a car on weekends. And I don't know what the bus is paid, you know, what the school paid. I'm sure it'll come back to us. We'll know for certain. When they bill us,
yeah,
you know, that'll probably be part of our billing on that. But they took three buses and a little van. So that's a lot of children.
Wow. Yeah, it is. That's a huge outing.
And then they had all the parents follow along behind. So it was quite a procession.
And nobody got lost or left
nobody
behind?
Nobody got. Well, everybody knew where it was if something went wrong. I think everybody had been there a lot of times, and they knew how to go over to the highway and get on the highway and get to it.
Wow.
And these people had been there for years and years, and they said they were going to close this year. They couldn't get any help. They were in desperate straits. They're getting older. And everybody said, oh, no, you cannot close our pumpkin patch. A lot of people volunteered, a lot of mothers, a lot of dads, and a lot of people just said, you know, I can give this day, I can give this day. So a lot of people just volunteered and said, let's keep it open for our kids.
Really? Now that's nice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
I thought it was really nice. So a lot of people just flat volunteered.
Wow. Not many people would do that. That's cool.
A lot of places would never do that. But here in Texas, you know, if a person needs help, they're going to help.
Hmm. What about Monday? Blah. Are the kids ready for Halloween and whatever? What?
They are ready.
Yeah.
They're talking Halloween now. I mean, you know.
Are they trying on costumes just to give it a dry run?
Oh, yes. The way that works, you go to the costume store, you try on five of them or ten and make a decision. That's the way you do it.
That's like shopping for clothes at the mall, but different.
That's right. And you ask them, could you possibly use last year's? No, people have seen it. I have to have a new one. I mean, you know, it's that kind of a deal.
Wow, you can't be seen.
And nobody will even remember what you had on last year, but they believe they will.
People are keeping notes.
Yes, and it is basketball time, and the little girl, she's 10. She's going to go do basketball. The first grader, he cannot wait. He joined immediately. As soon as they said basketball, he joined up. That ought to be a real fun deal.
Wow. Cool.
The first and second graders will be playing other little schools. Can you imagine?
Oh, boy.
The volleyball team at Harvest Christian is in the playoffs, by the way.
Really? Wow.
Yes, they're in the playoffs. So that's interesting. This school has more sports than any school I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
You know, they've got two or three basketball teams, football teams. They've got volleyball. I mean, I don't know what else they could have.
It sounds like they do well, too. It's not just a...
They have done well this year. They really have.
Wow. Congratulations.
They played a lot of schools. Yeah.
That's fantastic news.
So I'm really proud of the granddaughter that is on the volleyball team.
Wow.
So she's also a cheerleader.
Really?
Yeah, both. We've got an awful lot going on. In the meantime, we have to help them with their homework and get that done.
Wow.
Do you think we have enough hours in the day?
I don't think so. I was just sitting here thinking about homework, and it's like, oh, boy. You do all these activities. Well, you got your regular day. And then once the day ends, you got the activities. They got practice, and then you got games and whatnot to go to. Then they have homework on top of it. It's like, my goodness, there's no way that you've got enough time to get all this done.
We don't know yet. This is our first time with the basketball and the volleyball and all this other. So we're going to see how this works out. If we have to time this to the last minute, what we're going to do.
Wow. Man, that's a lot of
activity. In the meantime, we have to take care of customers during the day.
Yeah.
We've got to get all of our clients in policies.
Yeah, you
do. We've got to get all the money in on the maturities. We still don't have quite all the money, and I think we've got another $3 million out. But we got a policy at the bank this week. It was a small one, but we were thankful for it. And all those policies that we were working on all week, We got them all closed. They're all at the bank.
Fantastic.
How about that?
Wow, that's great news. Let's get into it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So this has been a pretty big week. To close out October, it looks like really you kind of ended on a big bang this week.
We did. All the policies that went out, we sent out invitations. People said yes, yes. I think I had two no's, and the rest were yes. These were great policies, and everybody was wanting them. I knew they would. I told everybody, I said, that pancreatic cancer won't go very far, and it didn't. So we got those to the bank. We got the other one to the bank. They're all short. So I don't know where, and I can't remember, but I didn't send it out to people. It doesn't matter now. But there was one note from a doctor said this guy's got 6 to 12 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I didn't send it out, but it closed anyway, thank goodness. But I knew the facts on it. I knew that they weren't going to last very long at all. So we got all three of those closed. Now, next week, we're going to start on some others. I hope that we'll be just as good as these. They've got a pretty short time frame.
Really? What are we talking about terms? Like?
I think the longest is 24, 26. I think the others are 18.
Wow, those are short.
They are very short. And they've got good premiums. I think they'll go quickly also. People are anxious now to get in policies. So, you know, we want to get them in as quick as possible. And it's first come right now on these because they are small policies. So in order to get everybody in, we just have to take it from the top.
It kind of sounds like the shorter policies, you know, 18, 24, 26 months are very, very, I don't want to say popular, but people are, I guess, maybe drawn more to those than maybe the longer ones that go out 30-ish months. Is that right?
And, you know, usually 30 or 35 doesn't bother anybody.
Yeah.
It did on these last ones, and they were so short, everybody was very excited to get in them. And the premiums were right. Those were good. The chance of them coming early is pretty good on these, especially the pancreatic. We know that'll probably come in early.
Oh, yeah.
It always has.
Yeah, that's one of the big ones that most people jump on as soon as they hear it, right?
And we hadn't had one in, 6 months or a year?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, wow. It's been a while. And several people had said, do you have a pancreatic cancer one for me? And I keep saying no. So we were glad to say yes. And we've got one more that we're bidding, another pancreatic. I don't know how it'll come out, but we are bidding another one.
Really? So people actually ask for policies by name, like in particular.
Well, they do on that. They'll say, Faye, do you have a pancreatic cancer one? And I'll say, no, we just haven't been able to get any. And so right now, you know, we're just so excited to finally get some. And it seems like they come in spurts, you know. We closed those two, and we've got one more to bid. We don't know if we'll get the bid. I think the bidding will be hard, will be pretty substantial on it. I think people will really bid it.
Is bidding difficult with certain types of policies like that, or do you find that it just kind of doesn't change between types of policies at all?
Well, it depends who the bidders are. This last week, there was two big policies out. Each one was $2 million. There was a $5 million. People bid those hard. They really did. And so I knew who the competition was. We did not bid those. And I know a lot of people did.
Does bidding competition have any kind of a direct reflection on the quality of the policy itself? And I ask that because sometimes, you know, like especially at the beginning of the year, it seems like these other competitors will come in and they'll just bid on anything and everything. Even if it's a bad policy, they'll just bid on it and bid hard on them. And so I wasn't sure if, you know, maybe like as we kind of like as you the dust settles on those types of, you know, people that just want to, you know, blow the budget right off the bat at the beginning of the year. Once all that, you take that out of the equation, does the competition, the bidding competition, reflect how good a policy is, or is it just not really a thing?
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it depends on what type of cancer, and sometimes it's just they want the policy. You know, they're not reading it as careful. So there's a lot of different things that go into it. It depends who the bidders are, first of all. And then, to me, how much it is. We don't want to go out here and bid a $5 million policy unless we have a lot of people that we think would go in that policy.
Yeah. So you're actually thinking, as you're bidding on it, you already have in mind certain investors that would be good for a particular policy. You're thinking about it at that stage, not just, well, let's
That's
bid
right.
and try
yes.
to fill it later. Wow.
No, we don't ever do that. We always think, okay, if it's colon cancer, there's certain people will go in colon cancer. They like colon cancer. They've had good luck with them. Colon cancer is our number one maturity. We've had more colon deaths than any other kind.
Really?
Breast cancer is next. And then, of course, somebody asked me this week, and I told them the throat cancers are new to us, but we've had several of them, and they've come in early, every one of them. I just don't think you can survive that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's kind of one of those things that's maybe like snuck up under the radar a little bit. And so now you're starting to see more and more data that shows those are really good policies to bid on as well, I think.
That's right. And this new system that we're working with Oracle on, that we will have come January, we're working on it now. It's going to give us a lot more data than we have now. We won't have to go look it up physically. It should be in the system. It should tell us, okay, how many people this year died of colon cancer? How many of them from breast cancer? We're hoping that this will just give us this data right then that we can get instant. We'll know what we want to know.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah,
is this just for your policies or like nationwide or worldwide numbers?
No, this just Oracle came to us. They knew we were looking for a software package that really works. Ours is outdated because it's old, and we have to do all of our billing by hand. All this has to be done physically. And they said, yes, they could build us a system that will do all this, and we can just hit a button, and it'll bill everybody just like that. And all these policies, they said, yes, they can build a system that will tell us all this information internally that we need. So they're working on this. It's going to take months. Well, they said January. We'd probably be ready by January.
So wait a minute. I'm very interested in this because what it could mean. I mean, if you can go back and look at, you know, historical data and say, you know, this percentage of these types of policies came in early, or this percentage, you know, of, you know, whatever type of policy is the most profitable, or is that's what this system is.
Hopefully that will all be in there. Yes.
Wow.
Hopefully all this will be in there.
Oh, that's like, wow. That's priceless.
Yeah. It'll make a big difference. And of course we're having to get everything ready for them and show them how it works now, in order for them to change it and put it in all this software into our plan. Like they'll have to have every policy, what it is, every person that has more than one account with us, how many policies have they had material, what did they make, all this should be in this. So it should be a lot easier.
Wow. I knew you were working on a system. I did not know that that's what it was. Man, I mean, this makes my brain light up. You know, having that kind of a data to go back on and look at is just, my goodness. I didn't even know that was even a thing. That's fantastic. In January, you say this may be ready to launch?
They say, that's what Oracle says. You know how big they are. They've got a bunch of people on it now for us.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Whew.
And so everybody has to take an hour or 2 hours a week learning all this. Every once in a while they'll say, okay, we need everybody on the phone with us, you know, for 2 hours or an hour. So that's how it's working. They're going through each little tiny piece of our business to put it in this system.
Wow. So they're collecting all the data now, putting it in, and then they're writing the program, I guess, specifically for
yes.
you. Yes. Wow. That's a game changer.
Wow. It will be a game changer because we've wanted this for years and nobody could give it to us. Now, and it took somebody as big as Oracle to say, yes, we can do that. We've been doing it for a lot of businesses.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big.
So we decided to do it with Oracle. And I guess they're one of the best. They are one of the biggest companies around, as you know.
Jeez.
And so they've got 4 or 5 people on their staff working with us to get this done.
And what's interesting is it sounds like the data that they're going to have is just from the policies that you have worked with before. So these are like actually like of all the it's one thing to have, you know, large worldwide numbers and things like that, but to have just data for just your policies, it really kind of shows, you know, look, when we as in you, present a policy, you go bid on a policy, you look at a policy, you go, okay, we're gonna bid on this, and then we're gonna offer it for investors to get into. It will show a lot of granular data that says, look, these policies that we're bidding on are paying off, and here's why, and here it's in the numbers. Wow, that'll be cool.
Yeah, it should give us a lot of information that we don't have at our fingertips now that we can just press a button and it'll tell us.
That's awesome.
So it should be pretty sophisticated. Once we get it done, it should be able to roll that data right off to us.
Wow. Geez, I did not know that was the system you were working on. I knew you did. Yeah. You'd said in a couple of weeks ago that you'd said something about, you know, working on a new system. I thought, okay, well, that's great. You know, maybe some kind of admin something, or you know, some kind of maybe a security thing or something like that. I don't know. Wow,
And it's going to tell us all about a client, how much he's got, how much he's been spending, how many times he invests, what he's invested in, what he's made.
Really?
Yeah, it should tell us everything about him.
Wow. So it has client historical data as well.
Oh, yeah, it's got to have client historical data.
Wow. Man.
Yes, it should have all kinds of data to help.
And you say you've got a system like this now, but this new one is going to be so much better.
It's going to be 10 times better.
Wow.
Much more detailed.
Jeez. So you'll be able to pull all kinds of reports.
And when people call in, we're not going to have to look anything up.
Wow. So if
we're not going to have to go and look all their policies up. No, none of that will happen.
So
it'll all be streamlined. It'll be there. And when it comes time to pay premium, we don't have to send out all these notices and work for 2 weeks to do it.
Wow.
It'll be there at our fingertips.
So if Investor Bob calls up and says, hey, how many policies have I been in? How much have I made? When is my premiums due? You'll be able to just pull all the stuff just at the push of a button.
It will pull it all up and hand it out.
Good Lord. That's impressive.
It will be if it works.
Well, I'm
assuming it should.
You've got one of the best Oracles. Oracle.
Yes.
If they're working on it, then you should be fine. Jeez, wow.
That's what everybody says. They're so big, they'll get it done right.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off on so long about the new system. It's just you let that slip out, and I'm like, wait a minute. Did I understand that right? Because that information is like, I mean, that's priceless stuff. That's That's the kind of, that's brilliant. That's really, really cool.
That's going to put us up there with the big boys.
Yeah, well, wow.
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait to hear how it all works and you know, once they actually launch this.
I can't wait either to see how it works.
Wow. Whew. All right. So you've got good policies that have matured and people are getting paid. You've got some really great systems coming in place in January. As we kind of get into, because what, November starts on Tuesday. I can't believe we're month away. We're 4 weeks.
Can you believe
from
this?
Thanksgiving.
It has been going so fast.
I know it.
At warp speed.
It seems like we just launched this year and we're like, oh, what does this year look like? And now all of a sudden, you know, here we are wrapping it up. Is there anything that people should be doing at this time of years? As we start to get into November, that you know, maybe to wrap things up, maybe taxes wise, policy wise, any kind of paperwork that they should be doing or anything like that to wrap up the year before.
Well, and I thought about this the other day. How many people know if they have sufficient coverage on their homes and their cars? You know, everybody should do a review. Every 4 years, at least, do a review of your house policy, especially since we've had all these fires lately. I'm really cognizant. Did they have enough house insurance? You always want to make sure it says replacement cost. You don't want it what it cost 5 years ago to build or 10. You want replacement cost. You want to be sure that everything inside is insured. If you have paintings, they're worth a lot of money, be sure they're listed. Jewelry, have a separate jewelry policy. Make sure you've got that. And then go back, go over your policy. I know it's a lot of trouble, but if your house is worth 30% more than it was, you're not going to have enough coverage. They won't be able to rebuild your house for what your policy says on it, okay? So that's something I've been thinking about that's important to people. Be sure that you do a review of your homeowner's policy, your car policy. Make sure both of them are replacement value. Make sure that the things that really are important to you are in a lockbox in the house, in a safe. You don't want them just in a drawer, okay? So I think that's real important for people to know that.
Wow, replacement costs. I don't hear a whole lot about that. So that's a good tip because I mean, if you bought your house, you know, say several years ago, and you know, with the economy, inflation, you know, times, prices, things like that, if it costs you know 30% more to rebuild it, if you had to, God forbid, but if you had to, then you've got a gap, and now all of a sudden, what you're insured for when you took out the policy initially, you may not have enough to actually rebuild the same house. That's a really good tip. I don't think a lot of people really stress that very much.
And the other thing is make sure your barns are covered.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people forget to insure their barns. If the barn is worth anything at all, and you use it for horses and cattle or whatever, be sure that barn's insured. It just takes a lightning strike to take out a barn, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
So you want to be sure that your barns are covered, your house is covered, your lake house is covered, everything that you own that you would not want to replace without insurance should be insured.
Boy, that's a really good thing because not a lot of people really think about their you know you get your insurance, you set it up, you kind of set it and forget it, and you know hopefully you'll never need it, but a lot of times when you do, and there are little gaps and holes and things that maybe needed to be you know updated or maybe something that was overlooked when you originally took out the policy, yeah, those things when you find out about it when you need it, that's not a good time to find out. You'll get a surprise.
It's not a good time to find out.
Yeah.
XYZ insurance company is going to say, well, you're covered for this much. If the agent has never increased it, if he's never come out, and what they do at my house, they come out and do an inspection, and they go through the house again, they look at everything, and they say, this is how much more coverage you need.
Oh,
and
really?
We've had that done several times, yes. So you want them to do that or do it by satellite, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you've got a gazebo, make sure your gazebo's insured.
Hmm, yeah.
So, and then a lot of people have prized horses, and I know they have those insured, surely.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know a lot of people that would overlook something like that, so that's a big deal.
But the house, they would. You know, the horses, they probably would not overlook. But the house, I'll bet there's a lot of people, their house is only insured for what it was 5 or 10 years ago. Bet you on it.
Yeah. Well, and then things change, too, you know, as you know, people, you know, go through work, you know, maybe they've gotten a raise or a promotion or, you know, they've come into some money or, you know, who knows? Situations change. People will go out and buy new things. They'll replace, you know, maybe they'll replace all the furniture in the house. And so now instead of, you know, maybe they've upgraded at the same time. So maybe it's worth more or maybe, you know, people buy stuff, you know, maybe new artwork in some. So, yeah, I mean, things change from the time that you take out your policy to, you know, now or, you know, within a few years anyway. So what'd you say? Every 4 years is a good time to reassess?
Yeah,
and
I would do it about every 4 years because right now prices have increased a lot.
Yeah.
So 4 years ago, your house was worth one amount, but now it's worth a lot more. Look at land right now. Land has gone sky high.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
So, you know, if the land has, the houses have. I know houses that were worth $350,000. I see them now listed for $650,000.
Good Lord. Wow.
So I'm just saying, you know, you better get with the times. Make sure your policy is up to date. It is important to you.
Yeah. Good.
And then a lot of these men don't have accident insurance. And I was just thinking about that. Accident insurance on the job is real important. If your company doesn't cover it, then be sure if you work for a smaller company that you have accident insurance. If something should happen to you, what will your family do? So these are just some little tips I thought about.
Is that maybe a separate thing? Should most people, should they just
make
assume?
A little accident policy that we could write, anybody can write it. It'll cover all types of accidents.
Okay.
Years ago, when I first started in business, I had a little accident insurance to sell. Didn't even think about it. And I went out to see this guy, and he worked for Aero Drilling Company. Lived in Canadian, Texas. And he said, you know, I think I need an accident insurance policy because I work, you know, on rigs. I said, okay. And I think it was $25. It wasn't very much. And did you know, a month later, he had a bad accident.
Really?
And they paid off.
Really?
And I never forgot that. Never forgot it.
Wow. That's
how, you know, if you don't have a group insurance, you should have an accident policy if you're doing anything dangerous at all. And now some of them, if it's really dangerous, they won't even insure you. But if it's just fairly dangerous, they will.
If it's only in the medium range of the danger scale,
that's
you should
right.
Be fine.
If you're a bronc, a busted a cowboy, you know the rates will be a little high.
Yeah,
they know the chance of you getting hurt is good. You know,
if you set yourself on fire for a living, your rates will probably be through the roof.
That's right. We probably couldn't even cover you.
No,
nobody would probably take you. But anyway, that's just some tips. That would help the homeowner. They should check it and be sure they are covered.
Brilliant. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's going to be on Joe Cotilla. He came from Prussia as a young boy, just a young man. And he came to Cotilla, Texas, which wasn't even named yet. It was just this little old hole in the ground. He induced the railroad to come to Cotilla. And they were coming through Cotilla, and it had a general store, a little hotel, and a jail. That's all it had.
Wow.
And it was a rough place. It had a bad reputation. And according to the stories, they would call out, "Cotilla, everybody get your guns ready." Because it was a rough town.
Wow.
There was three sheriffs and 19 residents were killed right there in Cotilla.
Oh, wow.
And he started the town. As I said, he was an immigrant from Prussia. And today, there's a statue of him in Cotilla, in the Cotilla City Park. There's also a marker telling about him. That's how famous he was. As I said, he arrived in LaSalle County, which wasn't even a county, in 1868. And he established a huge ranching operation after he learned that the Great Northern Railroad was going to lay tracks there. Now, there's a lot of famous men are from there. And they all had a connection to Cotilla. President Lyndon Johnson taught in Cotilla in 1928.
Really?
Yeah. And he signed the Higher Education Act in 1965. And he talked about his experience teaching Mexican-American children in Cotilla. The second man who was on the cover of Time magazine was Edward M. House. His family owned 97 sections.
Ooh.
And he served as kind of a Karl Rove for President Wilson. And he not only advised the 28th president, but he helped write some of the legislature back then. Can you imagine that?
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, they said he was a Karl Rove back then. He helped him write the 14 points at the end of World War One.
Really?
The third person was Jeff Bezos.
Really? From Amazon?
Uh-huh. He spent his summers on his maternal grandfather's 24,000-acre Cotilla Ranch.
Jeez.
He was featured on the cover of the magazine's Person of the Year in 1999. They thought he was going to be somebody. Can you imagine?
Clearly.
Yeah, they thought he was going to. Now they've got several historic markers because they are so famous for a lot of things. In 2013, the Texas Historical Commission placed a historical register of historic places in downtown Cotilla. They are a significant part of Texas history. And it's been designated as the Texas Main Street Community. And what has made them so famous is the Eagle Ford Shale. There's more gas and oil there than almost anywhere.
Really?
Yeah. They only have 12,000 people that live there. But they've built refineries now. They've built restaurants, hotels, truck stops, and now the taxes have went from $52 million in 2009 to $127 million in 2013.
Good Lord. Wow.
Yes. And the Eagle Ford Shale is the largest sand fracking facility in North America.
Dang, that's impressive.
It's the second largest oil producing region in the United States.
Really?
And yes, and this new fracking plant that they're building is probably going to be the biggest in the world. And the city now has 16 hotels, and they're wanting to get a Walmart.
Really?
They don't have but 12,000 people.
That's when you get a Walmart, you know you've made it.
That's right. When you get a Walmart and an HEB.
Oh, wow.
You know? Yeah. But it is one of the biggest oil-producing places. I had no idea. And then, of course, they've got the biggest refinery there, you know. And then they had a grass fire that burned real bad in 2008. In 1973, two railroad locomotives collided, and that killed some people. But and when they started out in the 1800s, this is pretty funny, the Baptist and the Methodist Church had to share a church. They didn't even have two churches. So the Baptist would preach, then the Methodist would preach, and they shared facilities for a long time. And the Methodists built a new building in 1906 and again in 28. And after all these years of meeting with the Methodists, the Baptists finally built them a building in 1889. Can you imagine? They just said, heck, we'll just share this.
I can't imagine sharing a building.
Yes, I mean, you preach one way, then you just preach another. It's not a big deal. And then some famous people, Josh Beckett, he's a retired Major League Baseball pitcher. He owns Hadura Ranch, a 7,000-acre deer hunting enclave right there. John Lewis Gaddis, he was known as the Dean of the Cold War Historians. He was born there in 41. And O. Henry, you remember O. Henry, the short story writer?
Really?
Who was so famous. He lived on a sheep ranch near Cotillia in the 1800s.
Really? He's from there too? Wow.
Yeah. And then Ray Keck, fifth president of Texas A&M, was reared in Cotillia. And his father was president of the Stockman's National Bank. And then Hazel Kinsel, a girl, three-time world champion barrel racer, was born and raised on her parents' ranch near Cotillia. So a lot of famous people came from that little old bitty place in Cotillia. And it's all started by this Polish immigrant, Joseph Cotillia, and his likeness stands in the square downtown.
Wow. And they have, what, 12,000 people that live there, you said?
12,000. They think maybe 12,000 now. And the taxes are huge there. They said, you know, it's not for anybody that is looking for affordable housing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But the biggest, one of the biggest oil places there is for fracking. And I had no idea that Cotillia had that much oil.
I didn't have a clue.
But it does has a lot of oil. That guy started with that little 120 acres because he heard that the railroad was coming. You know, back then, the railroad could make you or break you.
Oh, yeah.
If it didn't come through your town, you weren't going to make it.
Yeah, you didn't even exist. You might as well just not. Yeah, like with rivers. They did the same thing with rivers. If you were along the river, you would be fine. Same thing with railroads. As long as the railroad came through there, and it sounds like he was kind of like a visionary, knowing that the railroad was coming through, he says, hey, let's you know, establish a place here since it's right on the route. So, I mean, that's it's forethought. It's brilliant. And clearly he was onto something.
He was on to something. And of course, he gave 120 acres of that land for the railroad. Donated it.
Jeez.
And how many people would have done that? I figured he sold it to them for a huge amount of money.
Yeah, you would think.
But no, he donated part of that land to them. And then, of course, oil was discovered. And that's what's made it. And what made so many millions of dollars there. Is the oil strike. It's just amazing. So they put not only a statue of him downtown, they have a mural of him on an entire west wall of a building in Main Street.
Cool.
So I mean, you know, it's just amazing.
He's well, let's see, I don't want to say remembered. I want to say maybe represented or credit given where it should be. I don't know what the right phrase would be, but they've honored him well, I guess.
That's right. And to think that everybody would yell out, you know, grab your guns, you know, if you're coming to a hotel.
That really is the Wild West. Jeez.
It was the Wild West. And, people knew it was dangerous, and if you were going to get off there, you better know it in advance, and you better have your gun ready.
It's like one of those places that really defined the Wild West. It sounds like it went from like this ruthless place to now all of a sudden it's this affluent community, and it's not, you know, it probably sounds like it's about as far away as from what it used to be as it possibly could be now compared to then.
That's right. It's a very up-and-going community now. Can you believe they built 18 hotels there?
It's amazing.
I mean, and there's only 12,000 people that live there. So they're on the run. I mean, they're doing something most people wouldn't even think about doing. But the oil, you know, can do a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you've got all that oil, you can build a lot of things.
Yeah.
You can build refineries. You can just do all kinds of things. But it's one of the biggest oil places there is in the United States, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had no idea either. But once you bid in, or kind of, I guess, once you get into that, and all of a sudden, you know, now all of a sudden you're known for oil. Now you've got jobs, you've got property values, you've got people coming in that wanted to be there. You know, that maybe I don't want to call it a ghost town, but a really tiny community. Now all of a sudden, you know, it's attractive to a lot of people, and things really start hustling, bustling. I mean, 18 hotels. My guess is, and I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it almost like they've got more accommodation room for visitors than they do the amount of residents that live there. 18 hotels is a lot.
That's exactly right. I'm sure there's a lot of old people coming and going, a lot of tourists. I don't know what a tourist would do there, except they would go and read the historical markers. They would see the statue of the man that started it. I mean, how many people get a statue of anybody in a town?
Yeah, a statue plus a mirror.
I could name on my fingers how many statues there are, unless you were, you know, Will Rogers or Davy Crockett, you know?
Right? Yeah, not many. Mm-mm.
Not many. So, and the towns had a lot of famous people that were there. Jeff Bezos was there every summer on his grandparents' ranch. Lyndon Johnson taught school there. I mean, there's a lot of notable people that came from that place.
Boy, you've taken, within a matter of minutes, you've taken a place that probably many of us have never either heard of or thought of for more than a second, and taken it from really kind of like the back burner to all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, this is like a major player. Put this back on your radar.
Yeah, and they have a museum there, and I imagine the museum is wonderful because so much has happened there. You know, from starting with the railroad and the outlaws and the shoot 'em ups and all this to bring it forward to where it is now. There's probably a lot of other famous people that I haven't even mentioned that are notable for Cotillia.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow. This might be worth taking a weekend trip to or something.
I think so. And look at the other towns around it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some more history that we can uncover close to Cotillia.
Yeah. And you know that there's plenty of accommodations with hotels.
Yes, that's right. You won't have to worry about that. You can stay at a lot of different places. They said they have restaurants now. They have all kinds of things. Money does a lot of things, and they put a lot of money into it.
Wow. That's amazing. I had no idea that it was that big. I don't know. You know, you think, you know, living where we do, you would, you know all about, you know, everything, you know, to do with oil and, you know, everything that, you know, we've done for it and, you know, our stake in the entire landscape of it. But this one kind of like off my radar. I had no idea it was that huge.
Well, and you have to think about what the oil income is there.
Yeah.
When you get to thinking about the oil income, you know how much money is going through that town. When you say, you know, it's one of the biggest oil booms there is, so you know there is millions in oil money coming out. And all those ranches have now got more oil money than they know what to do with.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You know, I think we always talk about how you should write a book about tourism in Texas. You could probably actually get away with two books at this point, Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Yeah. You clearly have no shortage of knowledge of historical things and noteworthy places in Texas.
And, you know, everybody forgets we've got 254 counties. So look at all the little towns we've got. That something important probably happened, and we have to dig it up and find out what it was.
Yeah. Like, literally, you can almost do like a walking tour of Texas because you don't have to travel, you know, 5 hours to get to someplace interesting. Odds are you don't have to go very far at all. And we just don't even know. It's just there's history that's uncovered or that's buried that needs to be uncovered in places like right around the corner from us.
Wow. Neat.
That's right.
Okay, so for policies, I know that we're in a good spot right now as far as, you know, payoffs and things like that. What about availability of policies for, say, new investors coming in? Is this a good time? Is there good availability?
I think availability will be by Thursday or Friday because we've got these new bids coming in. We'll be closing some more policies, I think, by the end of the week. And, of course, first come, first serve. If they're not big policies, we're going to put the first people in them first. So when we send out that invitation, I know everybody hates to read their emails. And we never address this problem. People don't read their emails. They don't know I've sent them something.
Really?
They, 3 days later, they don't even know it. And we're calling them on the phone. Did you read about that policy? No, but I'll get to it. They just don't read their emails. They just don't. You know, I read 150 emails a day.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm on everything. And I don't realize that people sometimes are not. They're going around doing their thing and their business, and they don't ever even get on their computer. Can you imagine people that don't get on their computer on a day-to-day basis?
I fantasize about doing that. I can't.
Well, when you retire, you can do what they're doing. Don't read the emails. But please, people, when I send you an email, and you don't get in a policy, it's because I did not hear back from you. Mm. And I go on to the next person. I say, okay, we can't wait but 2 days.
Wow.
And usually 2 days is nothing. We'll give everybody 2 days. But then we have to move on and get the policy done because the people we're buying it from want to know when we're going to close. And we hardly ever discuss that. But they're saying, Faye, what day can you close and send our money? So I've got to get on with it and get their money to them. So that's why lots of times I can't wait.
So it's a fast-moving train, and sometimes is
once
it possible?
Once it starts, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose probably people miss out on good policies just because they don't know that they're out there, just because maybe they get busy.
They haven't called me. They haven't emailed me. Now, sometimes people will call and say, Faye, I need answers on this. Faye, I'm not unsure about it. We'll go over it, talk about it. I talked to one of my clients yesterday, and she said, Faye, do you want me to take the whole policy? I said, yes, I do. It's a small policy. It's a great policy. And she said, okay, I'll do it. And so I need communication. You know, if I get a little communication, I know what they're thinking.
Yeah, you're also between not only, you know, monitoring, you know, what's matured, but, you know, looking out for new policies and then reading them all because, geez, before you even bid on policies, you read an awful lot of material. You've read how many pages is a typical? I know you've had the one that was like 750 pages or something like that.
A lot of them are 300 to 700 pages.
Good
Lord. They've had all this work. Remember, if you've had cancer for a year or 2 years, it tells every time they went to the hospital, when they went in for tests, when they did blood work, when they did a complete screening of them, what the doctor says about them. And I read all that, you know, before we make a decision. If the doctor says, go home, play golf, forget it, then we stop right there.
Hmm. Yeah, you don't even...
If it's 40 months, I stop right there.
Yikes.
If it says it's 3.5 premium, I stop right there.
Wow. So you have some criteria where you're not even going to go any further.
Just tell them we're sorry, we can't bid the policy. Let somebody else buy it.
Wow. Are there other key things that will stand out right off the bat that you kind of maybe?
Yes. When it says it's metastasized, let's look and see where. If it says it metastasized to the lung, the groin, the kidney, the liver, all those are important factors. If it is metastasized to two or three places, that person, I guarantee, is not going to make it because we know the ones that we've already done, already processed how it worked. We know if it has not metastasized, they're not that sick. But if it has metastasized to two or three locations, yes, they're very ill. and it'll tell you if they're on oxycodone. It'll tell you what cancer drugs they're on. If they're doing chemo, are they too sick to continue? We've bought several. They were too sick to even continue. We had one pull a policy the other day. We were bidding it. I thought we would get it. And then we got a note from the family. They were going to hospice. Ooh. So he waited too long. If they've waited too long, you know, they're not going to sell it. They're going to just go ahead and take the money themselves.
Wow.
And remember, they can rescind up to 30 days. If after we buy it, they get really sick and the family panics, they can send the money back.
Hmm. Yeah, sometimes you do get those that they'll cut it a little bit close. They wait a little bit too long to sell, and that does happen. But, you know, I mean, I would assume that probably as maybe, you know, one gets rescinded or, you know, you won't be able to, you know, proceed with it. There are probably, I would say, at any given time, you've got a number of policies in the wings, either to review or to read, or that will come in and take its place. So it's kind of like a vicious, it's like a train going down the tracks. It just doesn't stop. There's not like a slow time or anything like that, right?
No, I don't think so. It is. It's just the same thing. You know, you've got to check the same things. You've got to check their age. As you know, we don't want to do over 76. We've got to make sure it's a cancer that we relate to. There's not some kind of a cancer that they'll get well. Then we've got to get down and start reading it and find out what's going on. And then we've got to see the size of the... If it's 10 million, we're probably not going to bid it. You know, we bid a lot of 5 million ones, but I'm not comfortable bidding 10 million because I don't know if everybody's going to go in it or not. It could be the best policy on earth, but if everybody doesn't say yes, if it's 10 million, we can't do it because it takes a lot of people to do 10. 5 million, we can do it with about 38 people.
Do you want to go over the risks real quick? I know sometimes we
yes.
Okay.
The highest risk is it could go over and you could have to pay premiums. You need to know that up front. You need to look at it when we send it to you because it will tell you how much the premium is. And so you know what your risk is going in. And usually the risk is small. But you need to know it. It could go over. Sometimes it does go over. So you need to know that at all times. The second risk. It's not liquid till it matures. So it's not going to be liquid till it matures and it goes into your bank and then it's liquid.
Okay. And one does need to be accredited in order to do a life settlement. So what does that mean?
You must make either $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay. And as I know that sometimes people will hear that and they'll say, oh, I'm out. But it is worth noting that there are a lot of times where people are accredited. They just don't necessarily realize it. You've talked to people before that thought they didn't have a chance. And then all of a sudden they started reviewing things and their assets and going over 401ks and, you know, different, you know, assets that they've got out there. Turns out they were more than qualified and could go ahead and proceed. That does happen quite often, right?
Exactly. So you need to know all the facts. We try to give you all the facts. We try to give you all the medical, their age, you know, what the chances of them surviving are before you make a decision. We try to give you all the information. It's always in writing, and then you make the decision.
Cool. All right, and I assume you've got availability this coming week to talk to new people who are interested. Yes?
We do. We will make ourselves available. We'd like to talk to them on the phone before we have them come over, make sure this will fit for them. If it's a good fit, we want to do it.
Brilliant. And one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call and set an appointment to come talk to you?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.